This is Lake Effect Weekend from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Good afternoon. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Have you assembled your summer beach reads yet? Well, not all of us go to the beach to read or even go to the beach at all during the summer. The calendar of events is pretty full between now and September, but, you know, there's always time to read.
Daniel Golden joins us in the studio now with a massive reading list for a massive Milwaukee summer. He's the proprietor of Boswell Book Company on Downer Avenue and joins us a few times a year to share some titles you might have missed. Daniel Golden, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Oh, it is always a pleasure. Thank you much, Mitch.
It is a thrill to have you here, as always. And we're going to talk about your summer book picks, but rather than talk about beach reads or the proverbial beach reads, we have another way of organizing this list. We're talking about books that have some connection to stuff that happens here in the summer. What do you mean?
Well, what I thought about is that we have so many festivals and activities that as I was looking at the list, I said, oh, this is a good book to read for Irish Fest. So I sort of took the – I couldn't figure out a couple, so I left those out.
We will note that there is a gaping hole. There is not a Summerfest-related book.
I usually read some sort of music novel, and I wasn't thinking ahead.
But we'll go through this list. I will read the name and ask you what these books have to do with Milwaukee in the summertime, and we'll talk a little bit about the books.
Okay, great.
So the first one is Jennifer Chivarini's Resistance Women, and I bet I can predict this, but I will let you go ahead and tell us anyway.
Well, it does take place in Germany.
So then I'm guessing perhaps German Fest.
I'm going with German Fest.
I figured either Germany or France here.
Yes, that's true. But
it's either
going to
be German Fest or Bastille Days.
I've got a good one for Bastille Days. So this is a historical novel, as Chivarini's been writing of late. She has followed the story of Mildred Fish Harnack, who has great Wisconsin connections. She actually grew up in Milwaukee. And for Chivarini, who writes in Madison, she's a UW-Madison graduate. She went over to Germany. She married a German man and really led a big resistance program called the Red Orchestra. The story is told through her eyes and three other women at the time. They were trying to do whatever they could to oust Hitler from office as they saw his rise to power. It is a historical novel.
I'm guessing this might be for people who really enjoy The Nightingale.
Absolutely. I mean, there are no end of stories of World War II, and I have heard people say enough already, but then they read another one and they go, wow, this is a story I hadn't heard before. And that's Chivarini's case. Just spectacular research. She doesn't get bogged down in things like the clothes and the food. She does solid newspaper reading. I believe she brushed up on her German so she could read the newspapers. It's a wonderful book. Three of the characters are based on real people. One was sort of a hybrid character, the Jewish character, because she didn't have somebody who connected with everybody else. And I was just sad at the end that she wasn't real. You know, that's a common thing. People don't, you know, it's okay to place fictional characters into historical. But this is... It's not a short book, but you can't tear yourself away from it.
So that is Resistance Women by Jennifer Chivarini. She was recently at Boswell, correct?
That's right. She did a few events, and we had somebody write to me and say, I have a great idea for an event. You should get Jennifer Chivarini. And I said, she was here last week. But actually, the great news is she does have another novel in the fall. So she's actually going back to her quilting series for a one-off Christmas book. So she'll be back.
All right. So book number two on the list is If I Wake, and I'm never sure how to say his name, but Michael
Corita, I think.
Corita, okay.
This is a thriller. I thought it is summer, and I have to read some escapist literature. So this is like a nail biter with a few twists. This guy, you know he's good because they seem to sell the rights to every single book of his to the film industry. So this book is about a woman who is effectively a very – it's kind of bookish because she's kind of like an author escort. She's taking the speaker to a college talk, but the guy asks to stop and go the scenic way, gets out, asks her a few questions, and they're by this bridge, and a car comes crashing into them, killing – the gentleman she's escorting and sending her into a coma. But she has something called locked-in syndrome. So she is – her body is comatose, but her brain is active. It's a real thing. And the story is sort of told from her perspective as well as that of an insurance investigator who's trying to figure out what's going on. Now, this isn't just any insurance investigator.
Of course not.
Because she used to be. She's got some stuff in her past, and she used to be a stock car driver. But she's the one who looks at the car crash and said, because this guy has confessed to the crime. Now, he is murdered eventually, of course. But she's like, this is no accident. I can tell from the skid marks and the type of car that this couldn't possibly have been done the way he said it was. And this leads to
Spoilers.
Spoilers. I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just going to say, you know, there's some killers out there, and there's several. But the one that's kind of particularly fascinating is the millennial sociopath. And he has all the tropes of a 19-year-old kid driving all the other killers crazy with his baseball cap and shot, you know, not dressing the way a killer should dress. But he certainly knows technology a lot better than them. It's good.
Okay. And so this connection to Milwaukee in the summer is?
Well, because the hero in the book is an insurance investigator, I thought, how perfect for the Northwestern Mutual insurance agent meeting. Which is every July, except next year.
That's brilliant. All right. That's If I Wake, Michael Carita. Maybe you will sell many copies to Northwestern Mutual agents while they are in town.
I'll try.
And I think I know what the connection here might be, because I have read this book already, and I know the author fairly well. But brilliant Milwaukee connection. Let's talk about Antoine Laurens. Vintage 1954.
Well, you and I are both huge fans of Antoine.
We are.
And he wrote two books that I just adored, President's Hat and The Red Notebook, and a few other books I liked. But this is in my top three now of the six. It's called Vintage 1954. It's everything. It's a time travel book about four people in Paris who drink Beaujolais Nouveau that's been tainted by aliens.
And believe it or not, the book is still pretty good.
And go back, find themselves in 1950s Paris. The key here in the Milwaukee connection is that one of the four people is an American tourist, a rube, might I call him, from Milwaukee. Bob from Milwaukee, who is an engineer at Harley-Davidson. And let me just say, I was a little worried because I'm like, but he's a lovely person. He's so wonderful. And if people think that people from Milwaukee are like him, I'm okay with it. What is so much fun about this book is that it is filled with little French cultural things, all kinds of writers and artists and civic people kind of bump up against our four main characters as they're trying to figure out how the heck to get back to contemporary Paris. It's not, let's just say it ain't going to win the National Book Award.
No, but it is a wonderful, I will vouch for it also and say it is a wonderful way to kill two or three afternoons. Honestly, not a bad beach read.
A delightful beach read or an airplane read. And maybe you'll love it so much that you want to read it on the way back home, too.
If I have any complaint about that book, and I think you have it on the on the shelf here, it is with the slogan or the tagline at the bottom, which is, what is it? If you could visit the Paris of your dreams.
Yes, pretty much.
Ellipses.
Yeah.
Or dot, dot, dot. I'm never sure how to finish that sentence.
Well, of course,
if you were to visit the Paris of your dreams, you would read this book. I'm not sure.
That's right, except it wouldn't have been written yet.
Maybe the Paris of my dreams is actually 5 years in the future.
That's right. Go wait a few years, then read so you can go read it, or you can get it at any bookstore online, I guess.
So that is Antoine Laurens' Vintage 1954. Which is definitely a good accompaniment to The President's Hat and The Red Notebook.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So let's move forward to a book that I do not know very well, and that is Danny Shapiro's Inheritance.
Well, this is a book that is it is a memoir, and I would say it's about as page-turnery as you can get as a memoir. So Danny Shapiro has written a number of memoirs and novels, and she's written a lot about her family. She grew up Orthodox Jewish, and she has written a lot about her troubled relationship, particularly with her mother, and a very loving relationship with her dad, who passes away. Well, she takes a DNA test, as many of us are taking nowadays, and gets some disturbing news. She's not related to her half-sister. What could that possibly mean? It means that what we did in the 50s and 60s in terms of fertility treatments were often misleading to the people taking part in them. Hmm. If you've ever if you've seen the film Three Identical Strangers, you know the kind of things that people were doing in separating kids and that kind of as experiments. And this is really what happened. The new truth is that we thought we did a lot of things anonymously in terms of sperm donation, and it's not anonymous anymore. So needless to say, what I'm leading to, and it's not a secret, it's on the flap copy, is her father isn't her birth father. And so that leads her to a search for her birth family. Really has been a big book, obviously, with the Jewish community. That's why I put it in the part of the JCC Summer Festival.
I was just going to ask. I was trying to figure out which event this summer that we were linking this to.
But it's also been very popular with the scientific community and bioethics groups. Very popular with bioethics groups. I couldn't think of the festival for that.
All right. So that was Danny Shapiro's Inheritance. Let's stick with the memoir category and talk about John Flynn's Out East.
Oh, well, that's actually a beach read because it takes place on Long Island. Out East is a memoir by a gentleman working in the publishing field who, when he was a little younger and a little poorer, he grew up from a working class family. And I know this because I was in publishing too, and the same thing happened. People would get these summer shares on in various places. The Hamptons is what we would think of. And New York would basically empty out. Manhattan would disappear. And I did not have the money to do that, so I took the bus to Jones Beach every so often. But it was like a bus and then another train and a beach. So I didn't do it that much. But he is so desperate to be part of this group that he actually spends his grandmother's inheritance to go. And what happens is he's in this beach house with these very wealthy people. It's got a very Gatsby-ish quality to it because he's the Nick, and they're all Gatsbys.
Right, exactly.
There's an MTV beach house quality to it, and they've been trying to compare it to Andre Asiman because he does have this he doesn't think of himself as gay but falls in love with a man in the book. But I actually thought of it as more of the old Whit Stillman comedies, Metropolitan,
exactly.
Last Days of Disco, especially Metropolitan, because the center of that story is also kind of a working class kid who's with these, looking at these rich kids around him and seeing, it's kind of a lifestyles, a sociological, like, what the heck are they doing?
Okay, so John Flynn's Out East. Let's switch over to Ruth Reichel?
I think it's Reichel.
Food writer Ruth Reichel, who has written a book called Save Me the Plums, also a memoir.
It is also a memoir, and it is also sort of a fish out of water story. I'm so glad that we're talking about these books together. Ruth Reichel is, see, now I'm saying Reichel. I don't know. Sorry. she's written some amazing memoirs, Tender at the Bone, Comfort Me with Apples, about her life as growing up with food, as the New York Times restaurant critic. And the book I always wanted her to write was her life as the gourmet editor. And this is
Gourmet
the book,
Magazine.
Gourmet
is
Magazine.
About, yes.
The late Gourmet Magazine, I must say. And this is it. And it's just as great as I imagine it would be. I mean, I was just like so excited to know this was coming. She went in from being the restaurant critic where she was anonymous. So she knew everything about food, but she didn't know anyone because she had to do everything anonymously. And she gets to this magazine. She's a hippie girl from Berkeley, and everybody else is spending money like they're at the Oscars every day. You know, like she gets chided for not using her limo enough. This is how much money there was, particularly at Condé Nast. And that was the philosophy of Condé Nast. Like, we cater to wealthy people, and we are going to be starlet type magazine icons. Mm. And of course, that world eventually all came crashing down. And she tells about it in full color. And so that's really fascinating. Her story about trying to be a mom at the same time all this is going on, to her sort of, you know, upper middle class, but compared to all these people doing stuff, she doesn't feel like she's what they are, family. But also on top of it, the food writing is spectacular. She, when they go in that gourmet kitchen, which was an amazing place, I could have read a whole book just about the gourmet kitchen. That's how interesting it is when they're analyzing recipes and arguing with each other about how to make something better and how it looks and things like that. And, you know, we have food magazines here with the Ryman magazine. So, I think those
Taste
people
of home
at least,
and whatever,
Taste of Home, right. So, from Reader's Digest. So, they alone would love the book, but everybody. And our kids buyer, Amy, this is definitely her favorite adult book of the year. No question.
All right. So, we are connecting that with Farmer's Market, with
Zoo à la carte!
Of course. Why wouldn't I have thought of that?
So, Bloxy by Mary Miller just came out. It is a novel set in Bloxy, Mississippi. About
I think they might say Biloxi.
I think thank you for correcting me. I'm spoken like a true northerner.
Yes, exactly.
60-something guy, just got divorced after a long marriage. Didn't go that well. Father died. Thinks he's getting a pretty good inheritance, so he retires. Only to find out maybe he's not getting that inheritance. Got some health problems, not really taking the meds. Things aren't going that well. And he takes a wrong turn while he's avoiding somebody that he sees at the grocery store and passes this house that's giving away a dog. A free dog. So he goes in, talks to the guy, and gets Layla. And takes Layla home and starts bonding with her, only to find out that that dog wasn't really supposed to be given away. The guy who was doing it was having a fight with his wife. So it's oh my gosh. This book is a second novel. It's classic Southern literature, like the old Algonquin books of Chapel Hill. If you like Clyde Edgerton, if you like Kay Gibbons, if you like Silas House, like not the really dark stuff, but sort of like
this is not Faulkner.
It's not Faulkner. Thank you very much. But it is charming. I said, South Country music, State Fair.
All right.
But
there's country music at Summerfest.
That's true. Yeah. I could have done Summerfest for this too, because now we're getting a lot more diverse in all our. We're not boxing in all our festivals, which is really great.
Not just Cheap Trick and Journey.
And if I could find, there's probably a dog festival. It's a really good dog book. It's actually the second dog book that I've read in like 2 months about a dog falling into someone's life and changing it. I'm not a dog person. I come from cat stock, but I have to say the other one was The Friend by Sigrid Nunez, and I just completely love both of them. So
that's right. That is Biloxi by Mary Miller, and you have piqued my interest, as you have on all of these books, of course. But how about Ask Again, Yes by Mary Beth Keane, a book that I know nothing about except what is written in front of me.
Well, I read this book early. And fell in love with it. The publishers are always like, read this for us. We'll come to this dinner and meet this author. And boy, you'll be really embarrassed if you don't read the book. So, and then maybe you need to have a quote on it too. So we do these sort of things. And I was struggling because there was like a bunch of authors. And I wrote to one of my friends and said, who was at the dinner. I was like, I don't know what to read. She's like, this is your book. She's an old bookseller, so she knows how to hand sell. And she was right. I loved it. It's an Irish, contemporary Irish story about two families. Both the dads are cops. They move in next door to each other in the suburbs. They're both either Irish immigrant or first generation. And then a terrible thing happens that drives them apart. However, the children are still secretly in love with each other, a la Romeo and Juliet.
A la Romeo and Juliet.
But the story doesn't end there. Yes, any number.
Right.
Any number.
West Side Story.
Yes. but that's not really the story. The story is about the burden of the the earlier generation on the second, the next generation of mental illness and alcoholism. Mm. So what I loved about this book is that the writing is great. The characters are strong. I could immediately see we sell a lot of Courtney Sullivan and Matthew Thomas's We Are Not Ourselves, Alice McDermott, some of the Colm Tobin books. Like there's this, you know, there's a wonderful heritage of Irish writing and Irish American writing too. And this just falls right into it. Her last book was actually about Typhoid Mary. It was a novel, which also an Irish immigrant. So she's very much into that story. And that's why this is, of course, your Irish best book.
Right. That sounds like a great book. So, all right. We have a handful that we have not yet gotten to. Tell us about Patsy.
Patsy, Nicole Dennis-Benn.
Yes.
Well, I loved her first book, Here Comes the Sun, which won, I think, won a Lambda Award. It was kind of a Jamaican Breaking Bad with a woman at the center. And this book is basically the narrative of that book was so awful in every way, but she had nothing but undying love for her daughter. This is like the bookend. So Patsy is an immigrant story. It's an undocumented story. A woman from Jamaica leaves Jamaica, where she has an office job, not so good, not terrible, I guess, and decides to go to New York to follow her dreams and maybe somebody, only to find that her dreams have left her behind and she's going to be cleaning houses and that kind of thing. And she is a wonderful person, a fascinating character study, but she does one off. She leaves behind her daughter. And so the story goes back and forth between the mother and the daughter. It's a wonderful story about contemporary Jamaica. It's a story about the life of an undocumented and the struggles that people go through and very much about Jamaican culture in New York. It's a kind of a dual coming out, mother-daughter coming out story as well. So, you know, if you know, it could have worked for Pride Fest. It could have worked for the Black Arts Festival.
And so you is there one that you chose?
Well, I did. No, I'm splitting the difference.
All right.
I think the Black Arts Festival.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. What if we do two more here?
Okay.
And I want to make sure that we include Kelsey Ray Dimberg in this list because she lives in Milwaukee, right?
She does. And that's why maybe
we can just connect her to herself.
That's right. That's right. The celebration of and maybe the Boswell Summer Reading Series.
Right, there you go.
So Girl in the Rearview Mirror is a long-awaited first novel. It's psychological suspense, which I know a lot of people like. It doesn't take place in Milwaukee. It takes place in Phoenix. And it's about a young woman who is running away from her past. I don't know if you've caught the narrative theme for these sort of books. Who winds up becoming the
nanny.
There
are a lot of books that start with girl in the these days.
Right,
yes.
There is too. And really what it means is girl is a mess. And we're not going to tell you why until later. But on top of that, she wanders into this, what effectively, mystery thriller. And so she, in this case, she becomes the nanny for the son of a very powerful senator in Arizona. And everything seems to be going well. She's brought into the life. She's got a boyfriend who's in the campaign for the senator's reelection campaign. And then she's left with the daughter and something happens to the daughter, the little girl that she's taking care of. And, of course, the secrets start unraveling and the conspiracies start popping up. But it's really well done. And actually, I did have another idea for what it could be, like an early pick for next year's Democratic National Convention.
And in that, we will find it with we can file it with the book that I did an interview about not too long ago called Who Killed the Fonz?
Oh, yes.
Oddly enough, had a political thriller component to it as well.
Milwaukee and political thriller.
Yeah.
I believe that might be the official book of the Democratic National Convention.
All right. So Girl in the Rearview Mirror, Kelsey Ray Dimberg. We'll do two more here. Kevin Henkes is a Wisconsin author as well. And we have not talked about kids' books at this point. So tell us about Sweeping Up the Heart and what we will connect it to.
Well, I do read a number of kids' books I can read a lot of picture books, let me tell you. but middle grade and especially, I really like that 8 to 12, as I know you do as well.
I do as well, yes.
And this was my favorite one I read this spring. Henkes is best known for his picture books, but He's actually a whiz. You're a Billy Miller.
Yeah, I was just going to mention
wonderful,
that.
Wonderful laurels as well. This is a set in Madison at a pottery studio, and it is about a young girl who doesn't get to go on vacation with her best friend, and so she winds up going to this pottery studio every day where she's dealing with the disappointment and her adolescent kind of
angst.
Uncertainty, angst, yeah. And meets this boy who she becomes friends with, who's also dealing with his own problems, mostly that he finds out that his parents are getting divorced. There's a wonderful simpleness to the story, but it's very intense, and you really get into this kid's head, and you can tell the love for the pottery studio. Henkes does make ceramic animals. I thought that it was beautiful. So definitely worthy of an adult to read. We've had 5 people in our store read it. So
what are we connecting this with?
Well, I thought, and I had to think about if this is still summer, and it is, Maker Faire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's beginning of September anyway. But
it is, yes.
Still technically in the summer. We'll talk about one more book, and it has a great summer connection, and one that involves Boswell itself, and that is The World's Fastest Man by Michael Cranish. It is about the life and times of a cyclist named Major Taylor. He was the first black sports hero in this country, and I thought it would be a good one for the Downer Avenue Classic, part of the Tour of America's Dairyland.
And the whole Tour of America's Dairyland. Can you imagine everybody at the tour not paying attention to the race because they're reading this spectacular history book?
You know, you hear about all, you know, all city reads. Maybe they could do an all stage race read.
I would love that.
But this does great job of explaining not only what race relations were like, but what bike racing was like at the turn of the 20th century when it was the most popular sport in the country.
It was, and everybody bicycled then. I mean, it's gotten a bit of a resurgence of late, but which is great, but it's still no 1890s.
Yeah, it is no 1890s because Major Taylor would go and ride in France, and there would be front page headlines, and people would keep track of what was going on in a bicycle race on a velodrome in France, which is a little difficult to believe happening today.
Yeah, well, it'll be front and center on our bicycle table. We'll make it happen.
And remind us, the Downer Avenue Classic goes by your very store on the 28th, right?
28th of June, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was a great bunch of books. We will put the whole list up on our website. Daniel Golden, thank you so much.
Oh, I loved it.
Daniel Golden owns and operates Milwaukee's iconic Boswell Book Company. You can find his full summer reading list at WUWM.com.